of a survey to gauge the interest in this project, just so that we have confidence that 50 units would be utilized immediately. As well, if council needed, you know, just for confidence in the decision making, financial analysis report of what the, I guess that comes on later when the food cycler report comes out, that it sort of gauges how much didn't go to landfill, but if they wanted to have sort of a rough idea prior to engaging in this project. But I definitely would like to see this moving forward as soon as possible and consideration for this year's budget.
Okay.
Yeah, I can pretty much echo Councillor Kekkonen that I think this is a great opportunity. We have a lot of people interested in reducing and recycling and that, and I would think that 50 units sounds quite within our reach to get out to the public in the first year. So I would almost think that we should think about budgeting, and I guess that would be a budget of $6,250, I guess, for this year. So, yeah, I think it's well looking at.
Do you want to add that to this besides for information and add something to this resolution?
I'm wondering.
Or do you want to wait until we get into the budget discussion as an add-in? It's a preference. This is a receiving a report. So we're just receiving a report. Action can come out of that, but certainly when we're finalizing the budget, so that's a simple process. So we'll start with this in order.
Yep.
I think all I wanted to say was if we decide to move ahead with this, I was just wondering if the Lake Stewardship Committee could...
My point, thank you.
Go ahead then, take over.
No, that was exactly my point.
Well, I did invite them to appear, and Jennifer, I see, was the chair.
So they could do
there.
A survey and that and see what
and
the...
And their meeting is on Thursday, I believe.
Yes.
So yep. I think we'll follow up, and I think we'll have their support. I don't know that for sure. Okay, so this is just a receiver report. But I'm certainly gathering that we want to do some positive action moving forward on this report. So it's going to go to the Lake Stewardship Committee, and then hopefully we can move on to it. Any further discussion? Call a question on favor. Sure. Thank you.
Quote me if you took the words right out of my mouth.
There you go. Good thinking. All right, now we have two special people. We have Debbie Woods and Terry Short. Debbie's the chair of the library board, and Terry is our chief librarian. So they put together a very nice annual report. So you have 10 minutes to Wallace.
Okay. I was just introduced. My name is Terry Short. I'm the head librarian of the Cowley Library. The Cowley Township Public Library has stayed strong throughout another challenging year. We were closed to the public from March 2020. Until August 11, 2021. During the 17 months we were closed, we did curbside pickup of library material, interlibrary loans, printing, and faxing for our patrons. Hopefully, we'll remain open from now on. Our circulation has more than doubled since 2019, which is great considering we were closed for so long. In spite of the challenges, we were able to hold several successful events during the year while following all COVID-19 safety protocols. These events were well attended and enjoyed by all. The library held two events in the pavilion. Children's author Aaron Aladdin did a reading on July 21st, and Donna Marie Colson did a class on the fundamentals of working with pastels on July 29th. We also held an event in the community center. LLS, Ms. Dee Bradley demonstrated how to build a birdhouse and talked about the nesting habits of some of our local birds. In partnership with the McKellar Recreation Committee and the Whitestone McKellar Lions Club, we had a visit from Santa on Saturday, December 5th. The library board this year promoted the library at the McKellar Market. We gave out bookmarks to the people who attended our booth, which entitled them to reuse books to redeem at the library. This brought people to the library and maintained their profile in the community. On January 22, 2022, we started our seminar series with a seminar on water quality of Lake Manitowabi, presented by Chelsea Crenwell, a master's student of UFT, Physical Environmental Sciences, on Zoom. We're planning to have a seminar every month. This year is our 40th anniversary of the library. Our goal this year is to increase our membership and the circulation of library material. We're looking forward to a great year in 2022. And now to my board chair, Debbie Lynn. Thank you.
Yeah, just can I just add one thing? You also, since I'm the council member, they have a really good liaison member with the Sesquicentennial Committee.
Mm-hmm.
So they're very actively involved with that as well. So, okay.
Yeah, she's a great board member. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, good evening, Mayor Hopkins and councillors. Thanks so much for having us tonight. And I hope you have our report in your agenda package so you can see the photos of the events that Terry has just described. Do you have a copy of that?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. That's great. And I would just like to add to what Terry has described and just tell you a personal story of how the library can impact people's lives here in the community. Like many people in the province during the pandemic, the day camps where my grandchildren had intended to go during the summertime were closed. And so, like many people, they went to the camp of Grandma and Grandpa and came to our house for a week during the summer. I emailed the library and told them the interests and reading levels of my three grandchildren, and library staff put together a curbside pickup bag that was custom tailored to the interests of my grandchildren. Some of the books were craft books, and they even threw in some craft materials to go with those. And it was such a real treat for me and for the kids. And that's the sort of thing that our library staff has done throughout the pandemic to keep the library be such a vital part of our community. Just to tell you a little bit about what the board itself has done during the past year. Our membership has had some changes. We've had a few retirements from the board, and sadly, one of our former members, our former chair, Ann Potocnik, actually passed away on New Year's Day this year. And boy, we're really going to miss her, and we extend our deepest sympathy to her family. But we've had some new members as well, and they brought fresh energy to the library board. And we currently have one opening, and I think that on your agenda tonight, you're actually going to appoint a member to fill that opening. So we thank you so much for that. The main part of our job is governance, and in particular, creating and maintaining policies that the library adheres to in its operations. And in 2020, we established our policy manual, which has about 60 policies in it, and we were able to review a quarter of those in 2021, which is our goal, because every 4 years we aim to review each policy. During our reviews, we identified some training that was necessary for both board members and staff, and we all completed our AODA training for Ontarians with Disabilities. The one policy that is yet to be completed is something that we're asking the township's help with. If you're looking at our report, you'll see I've highlighted in yellow a couple of sentences, and these are just the things that we're asking for your help with. And that is a pay equity policy. We're actually not able to create our own pay equity policy because we don't have any male employees. So I know that the township has a new treasurer as of last year, and we're hoping that the township will create a pay equity policy and that they will include the library staff in that so that we'll know that our staff are being paid fairly. and then we can get our policy manual completed as well. Having a good set of policies benefits the community by ensuring predictable, consistent, and equitable service for patrons, and richer collections, and more comprehensive programs and services. So the policies really are an important part of library. We've been advocating for the library all year, and Terry described some of the ways that we did that through the booth at the market. And thank you very much to the township for the sign that we had requested, directing people from down in the village up to the library. We continue to meet during the pandemic. We had 10 meetings last year, nearly all of them by Zoom, so we're, like you, getting pretty good at doing it this way, and which exceeds our requirement for 7 meetings a year as per legislation. Our final purpose as a library board is to secure funding for the library, and you know that you are the major contributor to that funding, and so we did submit our draft budget to Roshan in November, and one was just slightly updated just a week or two ago, so we know that your budget deliberations are coming up soon, and we just ask that you look favorably on our budget request. So thank you very much for having us, for welcoming us here tonight and listening to our report. Thank you.
Great.
Thank you.
I've learned a lot by going to their meetings. They are very organized, and their policies and procedures are excellent, to say the least. Anyway, if anybody have any questions for our chair or chief librarian? Okay, thank you very, very much. We appreciate all that you do.
Thanks for having us. Good night.
Thank you.
So we have Resolution 22-47 being resolved that the Council of Township of McKellar is hereby received the deputation from Debbie Woods and Terry Short on the McKellar Public Library Annual Report. Can you move in a second? Councilor Mueller? Second. Councilor Ryan? Any discussion? Call the question, all in favor? Good. Resolution 22-48, be resolved that the Council of Township Governors hereby approve the minutes of the January 11th, 2022 regular meeting of Council and the January 27th and February 3rd, 2022 special meetings of Council. Need a mover and a seconder? Anyone? Councilor Moore? Seconder? Councilor Ryan? Any discussion? Councilor Kekin?
So they're January 11th minutes. I'm not sure, but I think 2202.
What's your concern?
So it was January 11th, they're okay. Sorry about that. That was that's February 3rd, 2022. Are the audio of these meetings available at some point?
Yes. What has happened? Our internet, our provider for our website changed their server just this week. And so when everyone was having issues trying to get onto the website and they weren't getting anything, and we were constantly telling them that we are, it's because we were on the new server. So when we were seeing what we put on there, they were, it has been corrected, and so all that stuff is getting put on.
Okay, thank you. Just, I wanted to just double check the 2236. I thought I had either moved or seconded that that motion, just so something we can check.
Okay. Okay, we can double check that.
Oh, yes, and then...
It shows you was moving it on the following page, on page 2, Mike. I don't know if you got that far, but... For 2236, like if you turn the page to the top of the page, it said moved by Councillor Seconded, seconded by me.
I think that was for 2237, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, except that, no, the way this is formatted is this belongs to the previous one, right? That's my opinion, although I didn't type it or anything, but...
No, it's...
No, it's moved by Councillor Ryland and seconded by Councillor Moore, but I will check.
Okay,
we can just check that.
This would have been based on what was on the actual resolution,
okay.
But we can go back to the audio confirm that.
Okay.
I think just to clarify, you raised the issue that we need to do something with the issue. I think the motion might be correct, but you raised the issue to put on the table so we do get moving forward.
Yes.
So
that's the way it might. Yeah, I wasn't sure if I had moved it.
I don't think
so. But anyways, so
you raised it.
Yes. And 2234, I believe that was a recorded vote.
Yes, and the minutes have been updated and corrected.
Okay.
Then it's a recorded vote.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Any further discussion? All the question, all in favor? Good. Okay, now we're moving into point 10, which is the minutes of the Lake Stewardship meeting from December 9th. Resolution 2249, be resolved that the Council of Township of Douglas hereby received the December 9th, 2021 minutes of the Lake Stewardship and Environmental Committee. Be moved and seconded. Councilor Heskin. Councilor Adams. Any discussion? Hearing none, all the questions all in favor? Okay. Okay, now we're working into staff reports. And I'll turn it over to our treasurer, Roshan, to bring us up to date on point 1, which is the tax arrear status.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Basically, this report is the status of the tax arrears as of December 31st, 2021. As I mentioned in the report, that there's 296 properties. Total amount of 362,957.98, which are arrears. And out of that, 59 are the properties which are 4 more years, the arrears. So the total amount of that one is 156,193. Even out of that, 59, 10 properties are in arrears for more than 4 years. So this is basically telling the council that the status of the errors, and just to let you know that I have already sent notices, one in December and one in January, and I'm planning that the interim bill will be printed in 2 weeks and will be sent, and I'm hoping that by April 1st. That errors would be reduced. If I don't get any response out of that, then maybe I will go for the tax sale position.
So my understanding is that those that we have 396 that haven't paid taxes, some of those could have been COVID related. We changed all that so they notified that they're supposed to pay now and the interest accumulates. When did that start? Was that September?
June 30th.
We changed
July 1st. It started.
Yeah. Okay.
And I would like to give you another. What I actually did on the base of the Councilor Nick asked me to
right.
just a comparison. It's a comparison of 2 years.
Right.
Yeah, I was speaking to Roshan this morning and asked him just for that kind of context for the numbers, yeah. But it's, the numbers are about 10% of our overall tax base, so I mean, that's pretty significant. And obviously it has slightly worsened in the last year. So
normally when they've been in arrears 3 years and been notified all the way along, then there's legal action that can be taken. Exactly what is that?
So basically the policy says 2 and over 2 years.
2 years.
Yeah. And then if they don't pay, then just normal process, we send the notices, and if so, they don't pay, then we will go to the lawyer and register the property. Once we register the property, they have 1 year to pay the balance. And so after 1 year they don't pay, then basically we tax sale.
Tax sale. So we recover our
share.
Our
plus
our
the
tax,
cost.
Our costs and tax.
Yeah.
Costs and tax. So.
Yeah.
We haven't done that often. We haven't done it on an annual basis, but it's something we should be looking at, especially coming out of the COVID and all those situations. So right now we have 10 for more than 4 years. What's your sense of 2 years?
So those are 59 properties are 2 years.
Yeah, there's a list. I'm
yeah.
not seeing the list. Yeah. So
those are 59 properties.
59 that have 2 years.
Yeah, which include the 10. So if you're taking
Okay. So are we proceeding then with the 10, or are we proceeding with the 59 with notices, or everybody's notices?
As I mentioned, by April 1st, we will decide how much remaining errors we need to collect. And at that point, we will look into that and discuss with the lawyer to what will be the next step.
For just as a curious, just one more question. With the our electronic email going out with the tax bills,
right.
Should there be a very clear statement to that effect that might prompt people to get going? That would be a good.
That's why I
just another step in the process, so they can't come back at us. We've notified you by mail, by this, by that. So that's just a thought.
I can do that, and just to add on that one, as I mentioned, that I already did twice. One in December, I sent the notices to the all errors, and also I did it in January too. So they already got the 2 notices. This is going to be third with the income bill.
That's a considerable amount of money. Morley first, and then Reg.
It's a major concern with me, these 10 properties that are kind of getting on the edge of a property sale. I'm just concerned. I don't know if we're privy to the information whether these are vacant properties, which I know in a lot of the past the vacant properties of families
right.
just never pay the attention. My concern is that there could be people living in these homes, and we have a lot of seniors living in homes that I know a couple for a fact that maybe to the point of not being able to know what paying a tax bill is. So I'm a little concerned that there should be we don't need to take an extra step in there, but I just hate to see us put somebody's place up for tax sale when maybe they potentially have the money, but they're just not paying their bill. So I don't know if there's some step in there, whether they're identified, whether we can find out who it is and make a personal contact, and maybe even family contact if it's a very elderly person and these bills aren't being paid. So I really want to make sure that we don't actually are having some elder, especially elderly person, home sold from underneath them is a concern I have.
Okay, good. I understand your concern, but that isn't what I want to talk about at first, but I'm going to go on and say it. I understand your concern, but as Rojan said, in most instances, they have been getting tax bills for 3 years. And from the time it is registered for tax sale, they have another full year before it gets sold. So if that isn't enough notice, I don't know what is. But anyway, do I understand correctly that the decision to register properties for tax sales is a staff decision, not a council decision?
I think it's a staff decision.
Yes. Okay.
Yes. I just wanted to be clear in the process so everybody knew what the process. We haven't done it very often, but we have done it.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify that it's not actually a council decision.
Right, so council, otherwise council members can't be informed as to who where these properties are, because that obviously gives them an advantage if it's going for a tax sale. We might be in an advantage position, but I just don't know. I don't know whether it's in staff's capabilities to do something a little beyond, which they probably don't want to, but whether there's some way of finding out if these are actually lived-in homes and somebody's going to be booted on the street.
Just in past experience, staff does their due diligence. They make sure there's all kinds of investigation that's done to make sure what the situation is. In any event, to work with them to try and get the payment made, we don't want to take the property.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's okay. You know, we just want to collect what's on.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, we do our due diligence to make sure that we're not
posting
grandma onto the street.
Because there is an extra tool now for elderlies. If they're in a financial bind, and that's reverse mortgages, is an option that if they were informed of that situation, or a family member. Okay.
Well, I don't know if when the letter goes out, if they are asked to contact the office to follow up with how we can proceed with them, work with them, something like that. So whether options and explore options.
That's good.
So we go to Rochelle and then to Rich.
So most of the addresses, most of the roll numbers we have or the owners we have, we don't have the phone numbers, their phone numbers. So normally we just send them mails. And we already tried twice, so that's why I'm giving them two more months, by April 1st, that if they receive the interim bill and still they don't pay based on the interim bill, because the interim bill will tell them what their errors are, and still they don't pay them, because then, chances are that, they don't want to pay. My understanding is that.
My understanding, I know we're just good, but that once they're notified, when they contact the office, and there are some negotiations to be done to get them to pay even less than what they're owed over a longer time. There's all sorts of those agreements that my understanding have been done. So there are some humane aspects in the whole thing once we understand what the situation is. So that's where they've got to contact us, so we know certainly what the dire situation might be.
That's basically what I was going to say, just to expand on a little bit. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think if they, prior to registration, if they contact the office, they just have to pay the 1 year to get it out of the registration point. And then if prior to registration, if they pay off the interest in that, they can keep it, avoid that too as well. So they don't have to pay the full amount.
Yeah, I think staff have a lot of options and ways to do it to start that process on a humane basis.
Again, to the chair, again, it's up to the owner. If they have issues or any problem, medical problem or anything, they just call us. We definitely can discuss and figure it out something.
Very good. Thank you. Any other comments? Okay, thank you for the report. So we have resolution 2250. Be resolved that the Council of Township regarding survey received Treasury Report T-2022-02, tax arrear status as of December 31st, 2021, for information. Can I move in a second? Councilor Haskell. Councilor Mayor. Any discussion? Call the question on favor. Carried, thank you. So we have the accounts payable. Table 20, resolution 2251. Be resolved that the Council of Township Cutters hereby receive the January 2022 accounts payable check run report for information. I have a mover and a seconder. Councilor Moore and Councilor Ryland. Someone want to speak to it? I think you were talking about something before. So.
I looked at this report and frankly, I think it's largely a waste of council's time, certainly a major waste of paper. This is 15 pages we have here. I went through and counted them. There are 12 items greater than $1,000, most of which are completely self-explanatory. I think that in future we should create a filter on the report so that we only report items over 1,000. In fact, my initial reaction was 5,000, which reduced it down to a much lower number, I think about 5, and report those things. And or, I think there's some methodology that's in our budget report. We have a single page summary. I think it would be a better use of council's time to simply get reporting on the summary, for the year to date, as well as the year to date spend and the year to date budget, and simply look at it through that microcosm to figure out what's, worthy of comment and investigation. Because even, the check run report is, the ones that I look at are completely self-explanatory to me from reading them, and yeah, I can do it, but I don't know that I add any value by doing so, and certainly asking all five of us, plus some staff in the meeting to look at this is, in my opinion, a gross waste of time. And I know we passed a resolution, I'd be happy to propose another one to rescind that and to move them forward like that.
Councilor Kekman?
This is already being brought to the table. All we're doing is accepting this report. If you have any questions, you can contact the treasurer. We're not going to be discussing this here. We ask questions to the treasurer on our own time. If you don't want a copy of it in your council package, you could always request that when you're getting your council package. But I appreciate the report.
Maybe it's my understanding. I thought we were just doing this for a certain period of time. Was it forever?
There's no period of time in there.
There was no timeline. I thought there was a timeline.
There was no timeline on the previous.
Okay.
My point is simply just that it's a lot of paper that I don't think provides any value, and I think there's much simpler ways of doing it relative to budget. But that's really what it boils down to. Even a major expense, if it's in the budget, then I don't know why we need to even look at it.
Well, this is already brought to the table. If you don't want a copy in your council package, you could always request it.
I'd like to think that we would look for efficiencies in what we do, though, too, Mike. It's not just simply accepting that, whatever we've done is the best way of doing it. It is not the best way.
We already discussed this when this resolution came to the table, so it's not up for discussion. All we're doing is receiving this report.
A council member does have an opportunity to put in a resolution for reconsideration.
Read the procedural bylaw. It already came to the table.
Yeah, they can ask for a reconsideration if it's moving forward, but it has to go that process. Okay. Any further discussion on the resolution? Hearing none, call the question. All in favor? Good. And the third one is our CBO's report on the request to get a full-time planner as a member of staff. So I added three things to it that I thought that a full-time planner would certainly help get our economic development and get commercial properties moving forward, which adds income to the township. And we have large projects pending, probably close to $30 million that need to be worked through. And the other part that I thought was important was that by having a planner, we can use that as a educational base for our citizens to help them through the processes. So I think there's some added things there that I think would add value to this. The problem is how do we fund this if we're going to proceed? And I have a couple of ideas on that, but before I do that, I'll just, if anybody else has any comments on the request to have a full-time planner as a member of staff. It's been all reports, we've talked about it lots of times, we just couldn't figure which way we're going to go. Councilor Moore?
I think the Chief Building Official's report has addressed where a large amount of money will come from to fund this.
Yes, sir.
In general, I support this. I think it's a great idea and a good opportunity to do so. I have some comments, I guess, about some of the math that's in here. In other words, I believe in general, I think some of the math is a little overstated and or somewhat optimistic, but nevertheless, I mean, I think we could move ahead to do it. I was unclear on how much, or if he is proposing, how much that this person would make. Does anybody see that in the document? In other words, if we hired a person to do planning for us, how much would we pay them?
I see a proposed hourly rate, or what the average hourly rate for a planner is in there.
Okay, where is that, Morley?
Second page, halfway down.
Okay, yeah.
Shane, do you have any concept of what a full-time planner would be?
Yeah.
Is it 80,000?
Roughly, we are looking from 60 to 80.
60 to 80,000. Okay.
Okay. Well, that's a little bit less than $38 per hour, but yeah, that's in line with that anyway. Okay.
I mean, there are options that go to a full-time planner. The other one is a shared planner with Whitestone. Another possibility, or we do a half-time planner, and then next year we do a full-time planner. There's kind of various stages depending on what our financial ability is to pay. So I'm just throwing your ideas and options.
Does Whitestone have a planner on staff now?
I don't know. I don't think so. That's why I'm saying we could possibly explore that one. But I think the concept is that we need help in this area, and it would be beneficial to us in future projects by having it would be better for our businesses, et cetera. So I think we should explore all the possibilities for our next meeting and come up with a resolution to support it or not.
And it would probably even help in the case of like our committee of adjustment meetings, the applications.
Oh, absolutely.
Would, because we hate to delay people, so if they can, you know, a lot of questions be answered prior to the meeting would certainly help. And I like the report, and I think it's a good possibility, so I think we should look at options. I don't know if it might be worthwhile getting a report from our clerk administrator also with any input you could offer in this. And I'm thinking, yeah, is it overkill full-time? Do we look at maybe advertise in such a way that they could be look into sharing with also another municipality? Do what the option also of being a part-time, like say a 25 to 30 hour, because a lot of people retiring out of the city would love, you know, that 3 day a week kind of thing. So look at that option also. So I'd like to see us proceed, but be an open
option.
Great. I'd also like to say, if it was a full-time person, I'm sure if he had other experience besides municipal experience, a little bit besides planning, he could be used throughout the office, or he or she.
Oh, sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So that all the costs wouldn't be just for planning. We know the patent office is already short-staffed.
Another good point. What so additional experiences in the office setting?
Does anybody know how likely we are to find a candidate with right skills? To start, because clearly they have to have a level of expertise.
Yes. Yeah, we do have a gentleman to speak to, actually Jeff Semolano, who is going to be my mentor and starting my training sessions next week. He also has been a city planner his whole career, municipal experience, and he will be an asset to give us information on where to go.
Any further discussion?
So probably a consideration for budget discussions as well, to see if that's...
Well, that's what we're saying.
Yeah.
Just the next step, to get sure information from IMA and then find out options and money and people.
No, I think some of the, now I'm not sure exactly, but we did have a surplus in the budget from the building department, whether it's fine to relocate that to cover some of those costs. We look at our fee structure on, you know, some like for adjustments and stuff like that. And if it's not absolutely full-time and only for that purpose, I think it's affordable. We took to look at the budget, of course.
Chris also addresses that in its report, that it's not a stretch to think that that money could be used for planning.
Yeah, because we already have the some budget every year for planning and that, and then with the... Obviously, with what would almost look like Chris being overworked, you know, the surplus of revenues coming in almost says that, and they probably work with Chris on you know, as all ties together, and then going forward. And I had somebody call me in the last couple of days, and I think I directed them to Ian, of course, which I should. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you're not going to like this. But it's young people trying to, especially with family members now, trying to get them either into their existing houses or adding on to something else. Or kind of, but we are in a housing crisis, and it's going to get really rough. And the one was the example tonight. That's exactly what that's all about. And somehow or another, we've got to look at our zoning bylaw to make sure we're ready for this crisis. And I think it's going to take another staff member to be able to handle it.
And from my perspective as well, as much as I love doing the planning, it is not something that I'm experienced in. And so when I'm relying on information coming through from an expert, and sometimes it's not correct, and I don't have the skill set to be able to say or to question. And I think we really need someone in here who has the ability to look at this and say, this is going to be, it's going to be right.
The council has full confidence in, and their word is the word, and that's what council goes by.
Exactly. We know when Sean was here, we didn't have the questions. Sean knew it inside out and out.
Okay. So we have a resolution 2252. Be resolved that the Council of Township of Frederick City hereby receive Building Department Report DP 2022-02, planning for information. We have a mover and a second.
Should we add to that?
We should add to that.
No problem. Yeah, so get your creative minds going of what our options are and how we can fund it. The only problem I see while she's rewriting that is that it's going to be awful cold up in the room because we have no office space.
We'll work it out.
Cordon off something, so rearrange space.
There's always the rain.
There's
a roof there, at least. So.
That like historical artifacts, the youth room might be a possibility. Housing, that's going to be the ticket.
Yeah. Very difficult. Everywhere, not just here.